Regardless of relationship status, this pandemic has caused a lot of shifts in the way we approach and think about love in our lives. Spending more time with a partner and less time out in the world has led to breakups for some, while others feel like they've grown closer together over the last year. For singles, the use of dating apps skyrocketed. In March of 2020, Tinder recorded its highest number of swipes per day at 3 billion. And yeah, that is billion with a B. OkCupid reported a 700% increase in the number of dates in a three-month period starting in March of last year. And Bumble saw video calls increase by 70%. And we're taking a look at how the pandemic has changed the way we date or approach love in any relationship. And we want to hear from you about your experiences at 800-642-1234. Did your relationship or dating life change throughout the pandemic? Did you go through a breakup? Did you start a new relationship? Did the time during the pandemic help or hurt your current relationship? How has it changed how you think overall about love? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Arielle Cooperberg is an associate professor of sociology and women's gender and sexuality studies at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. Her research interests include romantic partnerships, marriage, and dating. Arielle, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so thinking all the way back to the actual stay-at-home part of this pandemic experience, you know, up until now, so it's been about a year and a half, let's just start talking about how much dating app usage increased. What do we know about how this has fluctuated pre-pandemic until today?
We know there's been a big increase in internet dating, in part because all the places where people used to meet dates have shut down during the pandemic. So my research has looked at where people, college students, meet dates, and most met them in class or at work or at bars and parties, all those things. Classes went home, work went virtual, bars shut down, parties should not have been happening, right? So they started shifting to meeting people online a lot more.
And do you think that in part because a lot of people had moved online anyway, that this was just sort of a natural extension of, well, maybe I'm single or maybe I'm maybe dating around a little, and this kind of filled the need a little for college students in particular?
Oh, yeah. They, you know, they can't meet people through other means. A lot of people felt very isolated, I think, especially if you're single. So this was, you know, everyone was going online anyway. And I think we've seen kind of a change in social norms about how acceptable it is to meet people on the internet, even compared to 2 years ago.
Yeah, hasn't there been, just even outside of sort of the college realm, a big increase in the online dating? It felt like maybe a decade ago, you might not admit that you met someone on, say, OkCupid, but now people are showing you their Tinder matches, maybe prior to the pandemic when you're meeting one-on-one, right?
Yeah, Tinder started about 10 years ago. Before that, you know, there weren't apps on your phone. It was more websites that you were going to. And there was still a lot of stigma around it. I remember I actually met my spouse on OkCupid in 2007, I think. And at first we told people we met through a friend because we didn't want to tell people we met online. So
if it makes you feel any better, I can admit the same thing, that I met my now husband on OkCupid and we've been together for about 10 years. And yeah, did not tell people maybe up until now that that's where we met. So I think a lot of us are in the same boat there. You know, what about people who were in somewhat new relationships at the beginning of all of this, this being the pandemic? Are we starting to see some new and emerging patterns from, you know, last March to now?
Yeah, so I've been doing interviews and collecting surveys with college graduates and college students over the last year. And some of what we saw was we had one interviewee who started a relationship about 2 months before the pandemic. Then the pandemic happened. They decided to co-quarantine, and their bubble was just the two of them pretty much. And they started getting very serious very quickly because that was the only in-person social interaction they were having. On the other hand, we had many people who said, I'm just not going to date until after the pandemic's over. And we saw an increase in the survey data. We had earlier collected a survey in 2017, which we were able to compare to, we being me and my colleague, Dr. Joan Mazzellis. And what we saw was there was an increase in people who were single, and there was a big decrease in casual dating. So relationships are about the same, right? People are still in serious romantic relationships at about the same rate, but casual dating has gone way down. We surveyed people in April of this year compared to 2017.
Now, you've also done research on cohabitation. Do you think that some people maybe accelerated their timeline to move in with someone because of the pandemic, because there was some concern about what the coming months would have brought last year?
Yeah, I think we actually directly asked about that in our survey, and we found it was about 5% of students and about 4% of college graduates said they moved in with a romantic partner sooner than they had expected. And in our interviews, some people talked about worrying about older family members they had been living with and wanting to protect them from COVID, so deciding to move in with their romantic partner. We also had, you know, that person who had a less serious relationship, and then she was like, basically, we're living together, but we have separate apartments still, when we interviewed her last year. So for some people, especially people who were already dating, I think it did accelerate relationships.
We are talking to Arielle Cooperberg. She is an associate professor of sociology and women's gender and sexuality studies at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And her research interests include romantic partnerships, marriage, and dating. And that is what we are talking about right now. We're talking about how the pandemic as a whole has impacted relationships over the last, you know, year and a half. I want to take a caller right now. We have Johanna N. Adams. Hi, Johanna.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, what did you want to talk about?
So I was with my partner. We got together at the beginning of the pandemic, and then we had broken up, I want to say in January, because it was just a really stressful time. I was working in the ER as a patient registrar in Milwaukee, because that's where I live now. We ended up getting back together, but it, like everyone said, our relationship was quit. And so, like, I really agree with that.
And Johanna, if I can ask you a follow-up question. We were just a moment ago talking about cohabitation. Did you happen to move in with your partner at the time, or were you still living separately? Okay.
We lived separately, and then in March, we moved in together. So this was, like, real pandemic time. We just felt a lot of pressure to move in because we didn't, he had a bad situation, and we were just like, oh, we could just live together.
Yeah, well, Johanna, thank you so much for sharing your experience. And Arielle, did you hear similar instances of people who, I know we were just talking about cohabitation a second ago, but because of the pandemic, it really kind of pushed everyone maybe faster than normal, or that they just wanted to jump at the opportunity?
Yeah, we did hear some people who wanted to jump at opportunities they had. It was interesting that the caller worked in healthcare, because we also had quite a few people who were partnered with people in healthcare and talked about the stress of having a partner who was working in the healthcare industry and managing all the COVID protections, especially early on when people didn't really know much about what was happening. But we also saw people breaking up because of COVID. So about 9% of college students said they had a college breakup because of stress or distance, or, you know, disagreements over COVID as well.
Yeah, and it seems like the pandemic really did exacerbate things, maybe stressors that already would have been there, but really put it in maybe harsh relief for a lot of people. Do you think that the pandemic, for even people who might have had maybe stronger relationships, they weren't, you know, early in their relationships, but maybe exposed the cracks a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely think, first of all, it was a very high stress situation in many different respects. There were people who were losing jobs or getting paid less at jobs. So there was financial stress. There were people who had jobs where they had to go and interact with the public. So there was the health stress. There was, you know, all school shutting down. So if you had children, there was a lot of stress around that. And I've seen other research that looks at stress specifically and said stress tended to go up. But there were also many people who said that COVID strengthened their marriage and made them appreciate their spouse more. You know, this was specifically about married people, but there were people in relationships who said, you know, in our study, who said, you know, if I didn't have this person, I probably would have moved in, you know, back home with my parents because I would have been so lonely. But this person was like, you know, my one social person who I was able to meet up with. So I think it's not as clear as saying, you know, everybody was more stressed. I think for some relationships, it made relationships stronger. Whenever we go through a big crisis, I think people look around and they kind of appreciate what they have more as well.
We are talking about how the pandemic has changed the way we date or think about the relationships in our lives. Our guest right now is Arielle Cooperberg. She's an associate professor of sociology at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And we want to invite you to join the conversation. The line is 800-642-1234. If you're single, has the pandemic changed your approach to dating? Do you look forward to, or have you been on some dates recently? And if you've been in a relationship or gone through a breakup, we want to hear about your experience, or if maybe the pandemic strengthened your relationship, like we were just discussing, we want to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, and we'll continue this conversation in just a moment right here on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we pick up our conversation with Arielle Cooperberg, Associate Professor of Sociology at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. She researches romantic partners and marriage, and we're talking about how the pandemic has changed the way we think about and approach love and relationships. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like the pandemic has impacted the dynamic of your relationship? If you're single, did you choose to put your dating life on hold during the pandemic, or did you maybe find someone in the midst of all of this? Did you move in with maybe your parents and that made dating unrealistic? How overall has the pandemic changed your approach to love? We want to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And I want to go to some of our callers right now. We have Erin in Madison. Hi, Erin.
Hi, how are you today? I just wanted to say that the pandemic has been really challenging. I was living in Chicago when it hit. My boyfriend was living in Milwaukee. We're both chefs, and we both lost our jobs, like, pretty immediately at the same time because we didn't know what the restrictions were going to be. We actually hunkered down at his parents in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. And then about a month later, after being furloughed and living with his folks, my boyfriend actually got diagnosed with leukemia. And so there was a lot going on at one time, and we had only been dating for about 4 months, but we were really serious about each other and just didn't really have an opportunity to figure out when and how we were going to move in together. So the pandemic actually kind of, like, I don't want to say forced us together, but brought us together at a really opportune time. It was almost like it was in the stars. And ever since then, we had, you know, we both worked together to try to get money to make sure that he was healthy. And along with our family and friends, we stuck it out and we got married on May 15th.
Wow. Congratulations, Erin, and the best of luck to you and your spouse with that treatment for leukemia. And Arielle, we just heard from Erin at 800-642-1234 sharing this story about it almost kind of felt like kismet in some ways that she met her now husband. A lot of things seemed to go wrong, but it seemed like they found the silver lining in all of this. Are you hearing any hopeful messages from respondents as you were doing your research?
Yeah. In our survey, about 3% of college graduates actually said they got married sooner than they had originally planned. We had like 4 to 5% saying they moved in sooner than they expected. So for some people, we had someone in our study was an international student, and his girlfriend had been in Korea and they were doing long distance. But during the pandemic, he moved back home and took virtual classes, so was able to kind of reunite with his partner. The group we're interviewing is a little younger. They're college students, so most of them are not at the age at which they're getting married. But we definitely have seen some relationships that kind of were able to get stronger as a result of the pandemic. And it's there in the survey data, too.
Erin, thank you again so much for that call. And I want to take another caller now. We have Rohan in Milwaukee. Hi, Rohan.
Hi. So am I on?
Yes, you are.
I just wanted to observe that the sociologist listed all the many stressors that when you add them all together, it's pretty shocking. Yet the first stressor that I thought came to my mind is over 600,000 Americans died. So, millions of Americans are grieving. And I would think that this is difficult in the best of times to lose someone and be single. It really tests a relationship. But I also wonder how much worse it was with all these people who couldn't mourn with other people and in their traditional ways. And I'll listen to the response on the radio.
Thank you so much for that question, Rohan. So one thing that we haven't really talked about is we've talked about the economic issues. We've talked about distance, stuff like that. But we're also in a period of collective trauma and collective grief. We have in the United States have had more than 600,000 people die. That's going to take a big mental toll on a lot of people, even if maybe you didn't lose someone. Do you think that there could be some long-term repercussions of how people may pursue romantic relationships kind of in light of the pandemic?
Yeah, I think I'm actually working on a study right now looking at how knowing people who were hospitalized or died because of COVID has affected mental health as part of this study. But I think definitely it could have two different kinds of effects. One is when people are grieving, they may pull back from other people and be like, I don't have time for relationships, especially if you have a close relative die. People are often, there's a lot of kind of paperwork and stuff that happens afterwards. You may be packing up someone's home. So, and then grief itself, right? So people may not be interested in relationships. But on the other hand, it could also bring people together in the relationships that they do have, or bring people, new relationships if they meet other people who are going through similar grief. And one thing that's happening during the pandemic is I don't know anybody who hasn't been touched in some way by COVID. So we have this big unifying factor that everybody is kind of going through this shared traumatic experience. And, sociologists looking at relationships, I would say that can help facilitate relationships if you're talking about a similar experience that you now went through and that we are all going through.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way to think about it, that we might be grieving all collectively, but that it could be a unifying thread in millions of people's lives moving forward, of course. One thing that strikes me too is that, we've been talking about relationships, people that have broken up, people that have gotten together, maybe some people like Erin who got married. But there are some people for whom they just didn't meet people either intentionally or otherwise and opted to remain single. Have we seen sort of norms or ideas around singledom change over the last year and a half?
Yeah, I think, I mean, when I was single, I remember a lot of people always asking me about who I was dating and a lot of social pressure, especially as I was getting older. And I think people are more understanding now and saying, you know, oh, of course you're not dating. It's the middle of a pandemic. So, yeah, I'm not going to bother you about that.
So maybe the pressure that a lot of people felt kind of entitled to put on other people has maybe been maybe a silver lining there for those who are single. You know, one thing that has come up has been this idea of a baby boom. People thought during the pandemic that we would see just huge numbers of babies being born because people were at home with other people, and sometimes babies happen when people are together, just putting it out there. Did we ever see that?
No, we saw the opposite. And I could tell you, I did not expect there to be a baby boom during the pandemic. There's many reasons. Again, people are losing their jobs. When you've just lost your job, people aren't like, hey, now's the perfect time to have a baby. We also see increased stress. If you have a child, your children are home all the time now, so there's a lot less privacy to have a second child. So there's, you know, all sorts of things. And we've seen historically, whenever there's a lot of economic stress, birth rates go down. What I wouldn't be surprised to see is a post-pandemic baby boom, maybe 2 years from now, because a lot of people have been putting off having children during the baby boom. We actually found in our study of graduates, it was 8% said they were putting off having children during the pandemic. And these were 2017 graduates, so people around their mid-20s. So all those 8% are putting it off now. But before now, you know, we had the Great Recession and the kind of after effects. I think a lot of millennials have been putting off having kids during the 2010s. And then this pandemic happened. And then, you know, people are getting older. So I would not be surprised if once things start recovering, then all these delayed babies start being born at once. That's actually how the first baby boom happened. People delayed having kids during the Great Depression and then during World War II. And then World War II ended and they were like, okay, now's the time.
Ariel, thank you so much. We have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Ariel Cooperberg is an associate professor of sociology and women's gender and sexuality studies at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro. You're listening to Central Time.